This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you. From daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
4 o'clock hour on the Hockman and Crowder program. We'll start with a Panthers update. Road to a repeat. Road to a repeat is sponsored by Celsius, essential energy drinks. Hockey fans, don't sit this one out. When it's game time, make Celsius a part of your play and get that energy up. Game day is fueled by Celsius, the official energy drink of the Florida Panthers. Panthers, they're on the road tomorrow. They're home Thursday. We are going to do the show live at the Amerant Bank Arena on Thursday. So make sure you're listening to that tomorrow. When they're in Nashville, we are going to watch the game. We'll finish the show at 6, and then we'll head on over to Funky Buddha in Oakland Park. We're going to watch the game there tomorrow night, 8 p.m. puck drop, and you can watch with us at the Funky Buddha tap room. This is what Sportsnet in Canada wrote about the Tkachuk injury. They say it appears that Matthew Tkachuk's injury could be problematic for the Florida Panthers. Head coach Paul Maurice said on the Joe Rose show, we played the sound earlier, that Tkachuk's injury could be a bit longer term, but, quote, he's playing for us this year. Sportsnet's Elliot Friedman says it's believed to be a groin injury for Tkachuk, which hampered him during the Four Nations faceoff. And points out Tkachuk has 22 goals and 35 assists for the Panthers this season. Something to monitor.
Regular season not over till mid-April. I think we're fine.
Yeah, I think so as well. On this day, just for bleeps and giggles, in 2017, the movie Get Out premiered in theaters.
Good movie.
Better than good. And I don't give the great movie often.
Yes.
And Get Out happens to be a great movie. I don't think there's any slow moments in that movie. The entire movie, you're kind of feeling that. Also, on this date in 2023, Cocaine Bear premiered in theaters.
Terrible movie.
I never saw it.
What?
You ever watched Cocaine Bear?
I got the idea. And it's like all over the streaming service. I see it a million different places to watch. I can't bring myself to watch it.
There's a scene where the bear runs him to, you know, like it's his body's ran and he sleeps on top of a man and the man can't get from underneath him because he had a cocaine crash. Pretty ridiculous.
Mm-hmm.
It's a great movie. Must watch.
Cocaine Bear?
Cocaine Bear. Must watch. I'm not even kidding.
Great movie.
Great movie.
But Solana, how does the bear know that the package is... Like now he's a junkie, so you can change his attitude by showing him cocaine. But he wants to kill you, but then if he sees a package, then he's like, "Oh no, give it here."
No, but he doesn't. Like that's the whole point. He was just sniffing around some packages. He got interested in something. He ate it. He developed, he ate a full kilo of Coke, develops a Coke addiction. And now, I don't know if you know this, Crowder. Bears have an incredible sense of smell, just absolutely remarkable sense of smell. Now he's in search of his next fix. And when he smells the cocaine, he wants the cocaine. He's not interested in humans, but he'll do anything to get that next fix.
Hey, go watch Get Out again, Hawk. That'd be fine.
Anybody watching the new season of White Lotus?
I am.
Haven't seen the second.
You saw both episodes?
No, I didn't. I didn't watch last night's episode. I did watch the first episode last week. I'm sure you had the same reaction, Hawk. Like, part of the lore of the White Lotus is their intro song, and just how, like,
it's missing.
Whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. But that intro song just did not hit.
Doesn't hit.
No.
I'm with you.
It didn't. Did they change it for the second episode?
No.
Making my way downtown.
You know it when you hear it. Yeah, yeah. Oh, you can do it. That's good. Oh, you do good fake White Lotus theme song.
Yeah, White Lotus. Yeah.
What's the base of White Lotus? Because y'all have brought it up. I've seen it on Netflix. I've never even looked into it.
Well, you've never seen it on Netflix, but it's just a streaming series on Max.
I've seen it on one of streamers.
Yeah, you're close. It's a mini series, but it comes out once a year. And it takes place at one of these White Lotus resorts, and the scenery is beautiful. And there's different stories each season, but it just happens to be masterful storytelling. It's one of the best series I've ever seen in my life, period.
Yeah.
Season 2 of White Lotus is one of the best seasons of television I've ever seen in my life.
What, like rom-com, murder? What's going on?
Drama.
Like relationships?
I just watch the series. What do you want me to tell you?
What would be the description under White Lotus? Drama.
Yeah, drama.
Drugs,
good series. Watch out. Well, just watch
anybody
it. Yeah, what do you want me to tell you? I'm going to tell you what happened.
I want a little synopsis.
By the way.
Syllabus.
Speaking of excellent, I went to Marlins spring training opening day on Saturday. And I say this every year. I'm going to say it again. You live in South Florida. I don't care if it's Marlins spring training or the Phillies in Tampa or the Mets in Port St. Lucie. You live in South Florida. You have an opportunity to go to spring training. You should go because it's one of the great pleasures. It's February. We're sitting outside eating a hot dog, drinking a beer. Baseball is going on. The rest of the country's freezing. I mean, it is such a pleasure. If you get a chance to go to Jupiter and see a Marlins game for spring training, you should absolutely go. I was all about our guy. Forgot his name already.
Mervis.
Oh, Mervil.
I'm expecting big things out of him. Got to see an at-bat from him. And, Sandy pitched yesterday.
Yeah.
Not when I was there on Saturday, but Sandy Alcantara pitched yesterday. Looked good. Again, very early. Yeah. But anyway, I'm trying to get to game one. You have a chance.
I'm going to game one if I can.
I started looking at tickets yesterday, because I kind of want to go. Even though it's during our show, I figure we should all just take off.
You talked about it, and I said, hey, Hawk brought this up. I need to – Sandy versus Keene. I'm looking at it now. Dan Marino's there. Flo Rida's performing. I think we got action.
But if you get an opportunity to go to spring training in Jupiter, I am telling you, it is just fun and special. You just can't do it anywhere else. Here in Arizona, that's it.
I told y'all I had family in town. My niece was here, some in-laws, and they have to fly back today. They're flying out. They just went for the airport. And they weren't talking about they're going to miss me, Asia, and the kids. They were talking about the weather.
I mean,
Which, you if they're listening now on the way to the airport, they would, they're like, I'm flying back into 20 degrees. I'm like, well, what about the stone crabs I bought you yesterday?
You're not Let's do headlines here for the 4 o'clock hour with Solana, brought to you by Doral Volkswagen. Choose from over 300 new Volkswagen models in stock, like the Tiguan, Taos, and Atlas. And remember, when it comes to Volkswagen, the great deals are at Doral Volkswagen.
Some Dolphins news. You guys saw the video Tyreek Hill posted. He was showing off like a new haircut, but you could vividly see he had a cast, some sort of wrapping on his hand.
Was he trolling everybody? I saw like a whole bunch of different opinions. He obviously knows that that's going to go viral.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, Drew Rosenhaus, he goes on the WSVN 7 night Sunday show with Josh Moser. He said that he doesn't, you know, I guess, feel comfortable saying whether or not Tyreek had surgery or not. But he did say, quote, I don't see any reason why Tyreek won't be ready for training camp.
All right.
Yeah. He was complaining about his wrist, and then he talked about it during his arrest. You remember he was screaming,
yep,
my wrist is hurt, my wrist is hurt. So, like you said, I don't know if he was trolling. I don't know if there were stitches underneath that little cast, but that's not the problem with Tyreek. His choice not to play in the fourth quarter is my problem with him.
I have something to read for you in the next segment, if you remind me. Chris Perkins wrote something last week saying Mike McDaniel needs a small miracle to save his job. Oh, look at the way Solana lit up.
Mm. Solana, you turned on Mike?
No, I'm not. I'm not turning on Mike. On the contrary, I think when we've been talking about this, you guys kind of are putting, I don't know about the pressure, but you're kind of saying, hey, this is more on Mike McDaniel not being able to maximize the roster. I've been putting the pressure and the criticism on Chris Greer for not building the right roster.
Yeah.
But I am sick of listening to Mike McDaniel throughout the week. That, yes. I'm sick of listening to him ramble and just say nothing.
Seconded. Yeah. Seconded.
We put it I guess I should ask, are you on my side now? Because we've talked about a number of people after the Dolphins season, because, you know, hell, the playoffs done been, the Super Bowl winner is here. Like, if you have to choose a problem, I think if Tua, Chris Greer, Mike McDaniel, that big three as Hawk calls it, if I have to choose somebody to say hadn't done their job at the highest level, it'd be McDaniel.
Yeah. Man, that first season was so inventive, though.
And then they got a hold of it, and now you're scoring 12 points a game. And if Tua is out, you're a high school offense.
Yeah, I mean, I think after watching four games over 5 weeks, you had the bye week built in after Tua went out against Buffalo, where you trot out Skylar Thompson, looks like a deer in headlights, and then the next game you have another backup quarterback, and the offense looked exactly the same, just as bad. And then the next game, the offense looked exactly the same, just as bad. And you squeak out a victory against the New England Patriots. You lose to a backup quarterback with your offense looking just as bad over four games. Like, I was pretty down on McDaniel after that, because how do you not do something different? How do you not simplify the offense just to look a little bit better? Because, I mean, we said it all season. You see teams not look great, but look competent with backup quarterbacks. Like, they can figure it out if that's the situation.
Jameis, Aaron Rodgers.
they would know how to use Jameis and Aaron Rodgers?
Yes.
How do you know?
Because they're just better. They're better than what we've trotted out there. I mean, that's all you need. Need better than what we've trotted out there.
They, to the point of Solana's window, that 5 week window, I remember numbers. We were scoring 11 points a game. You telling me you don't have 3-4 plays to get in field goal range? 11 points a game? It looked ridiculous
Not with who they were trotting out there.
I just, way too graceful. No power run game. We don't even know how to get fourth and ones, third and ones. We might as well punt on third down if we got a short yardage play. It was sad.
The Heat do play tonight, 7:30. I got the Atlanta Hawks, and you got Kane Hoops in action tomorrow. They might have a new head coach soon. Jay Lucas, who is the Duke associate head coach. Duke is set to play here tomorrow. Kane's interim head coach, he was asked about, you know, the news about a possible head coach close to signing a contract, and he kind of, it was interesting because he said something along the lines of like, I don't know who leaked that, and a weird situation or whatever. He clearly wasn't happy about the news leaking prior to this game tomorrow.
Yeah, well, I mean, I don't think anybody is. I don't think Jay Lucas would be happy about it, to be quite honest.
Yeah.
He's coaching Duke. He's playing the Canes tomorrow. I'm trying to see if there's a line for tomorrow already.
But even that with Jay Lucas, with the report, Jay Lucas is not leaving Duke to come to Miami and finish the rest of this season. But to your point, how you brought up earlier, he needs to start recruiting and transfer portaling to his new school.
Yeah, so I mean, like you can't.
What would be the time frame of a new head coach right now?
I don't know, but you can't. Like, it's silly. If he's really taking the UM job, it's kind of silly for Duke to keep him there on the staff.
But then Duke's going to the tournament. So does he ride that out? But he's also losing time on his new job as the head coach of UM. Recruiting guys.
And you don't want them having relationships with players on your team anymore because you know how easy it is to transfer. Duke,
and that's where Duke
says,
does Duke.
Duke is a 21.5-point favorite tomorrow.
Yeah, I might lay the point.
Oh, I'm laying the points.
But what? Obviously, Miami would want him to leave Duke to start doing his job, but Duke maybe wouldn't want him around because now he's taking those relationships and those kids. Knowing that he's taking a job in conference, it's going to be interesting. I just don't know the time frame on this.
Back to the NFL for a quick second. I got a push notification from The Athletic. Ashton Jeanty, he was the Heisman hopeful running back from Boise State. He reportedly won't participate in on-field workouts at the Combine. And I saw Shedeur Sanders, I believe.
Yeah, he's not throwing either.
Yeah, he's not going to throw. He plans to, quote, focus on interviews. And he's going to throw at Colorado's pro day. I believe quarterbacks reported to the combine today. Do I have that right?
Is that now? I didn't even realize that.
Yeah, I think it is now. But yeah, those two guys aren't going to do any on-field work.
Yeah. It doesn't matter. For those big names, it doesn't matter. Yeah. I was advised not to work out in Indy, too.
Did you?
No. Joel Siegel was like, don't work out. Wait till you get to Florida. Like, they don't care what field you're on. If you can move and run, he was like, you'll be fine. Shedeur Sanders was a Heisman hopeful. Jeanty's the, you know, number one running back off the board. Like, those guys can work out at the YMCA down the street and teams will come watch him.
You went in the third round. I mean, maybe you should have done some on-field work.
Solana, my on field wasn't what it was. My off field that got me dropped in the draft. I just
you should have just worked out. Skip the interviews.
So why'd you get arrested this time? Okay, that's a good story. What about the second time? I think about that fourth arrest story kind of fatigued NFL teams.
Quarterbacks report on Saturday, this coming Saturday.
Oh, all right. Well, how long is this combine?
Nah, they're going to draw it out. You know, the NFL likes to draw something out now.
But is it like a week long?
It looks like it's 4 days.
Yeah.
Well.
It's a lot of cocktail shrimp in Indy.
Is this the thing in Indianapolis? Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, for a player, the combine sucks. You're up all day just talking to people and then going to medical and then going to interviews and then going back to medical and then working out and then bench pressing and then going back to medical. And then, yeah, it's almost like they try to fatigue you to see if you'll break because there's no reason that a combine should be that long.
Well, as somebody who's covered two combines, it sucks for the media too. I mean, how many times am I going to go have that cocktail shrimp and I have to hit up Harry and Izzy's four times in 4 nights? I mean, enough.
It's ridiculously long for no reason.
You just call it cocktail shrimp?
Shrimp cocktail.
Cocktail shrimp.
What the hell are you ordering?
That's why you. Where were you at?
I mean, oh, you got to go to St. Elmo's. Oh, St. Elmo Steakhouse. Yeah, that's what I want to do when I go to a steakhouse. Get some shrimp cocktail. 100%. Yeah, that's exactly what I want to do.
You know how I feel about shrimp cocktail all of a sudden. I just can't stomach it. Can't stomach it.
I love it.
I used to love shrimp cocktail. Now I can have a shrimp po' boy.
Yeah.
It's, I guess, like maybe shrimp on a hibachi. Maybe. But I think I would go chicken and beef. I just, something about shrimp just is repulsive to me all of a sudden. I don't know why. This is a couple of years now.
It's ridiculous because I still love shrimp, but I don't think a shrimp cocktail can't be a staple of a restaurant. It's boiled shrimp with sauce. Like, it's nothing. It's not hard.
Again, you could do that with any any item. You could just say what.
No, but like a good steak. But like... Oh, they have obviously, the best shrimp?
But they obviously get the best, meatiest shrimp. They probably make a great cocktail sauce. It's
normal shrimp. Cocktail sauce is ketchup and horseradish. Everybody knows
I mean,
this.
Again, you're doing the thing with the, you know, the cheesesteaks. How could Jim's cheesesteaks in Philly be good? It's cheese and meat and bread.
Pretty much what a cheesesteak is.
It's exactly what a cheesesteak is. It's not pretty much.
I think if you're Staples shrimp cocktail, I don't know if you're really doing much right.
That's my whole point about this St. Elmo's. But Hawk, I mean, there's so many other ways to eat shrimp. You know, don't fret because you got shrimp kebabs, shrimp creole, pineapple shrimp, shrimp gumbo, pan-fried shrimp, stir-fried shrimp.
We literally do. I don't know. Our ratings, I spoke with Len a few days ago. Our ratings are through the roof. They're higher than they've ever been. We're doing so well. But I don't know how it's happening because we do this. The show we do is in reruns. Every year around this time when the Combine starts, we do the St. Elmo's bit and it ends with the Forrest Gump scene. Every time. It's every time.
Pepper shrimp, coconut shrimp.
Lieutenant Dan, ice cream. We do this. Everybody
ice
knows.
Cream.
People say the lines at home.
Oh. Lieutenant Dan, ice cream.
Pepper shrimp. The Miami Heat, they're in
things
action.
Were going bad. Things were going bad until that hurricane hit. Things were going bad. That hurricane hit, man, they started rolling.
I watched, I don't know why, yesterday, true story, honest to God, I watched like the clip from Forrest Gump where he runs for whatever it is, like 3 years, 225 days, but just at the very end, it's a great scene where he just stops. He's got like 400 people tailing him. He turns around and he goes, "I'm tired. Think it's about time I go home now." And like, that's it. It's just brilliant. And everybody's like, "What the hell? We've been following you for 2 years, jackass. Like, say something to us."
Forrest wasn't there. Forrest is just living, man. That movie has a lot of symbolism.
We do
that y'all
this
don't
show.
Get.
I feel like the entire show is almost word for word. I feel like it's almost word for word. All right, let me tell you all about Athletic Greens.
How did I just? I got a question now. I haven't asked this one. You let me know if I ask this one, Hawk. How did Bubba's mom have Bubba and a 7-year-old?
Huh.
Remember, she had all the babies at the house, but Bubba was 40.
Are you sure those were her
babies?
I
don't know if she could have. I don't know.
I mean, she could be watching relatives' kids.
I just don't. Why weren't they at school? Forrest went there 3 times. Them kids had nothing to do. They're all sitting around the porch.
Well, summertime, no?
They weren't. Was it summertime? Who knows?
I don't know.
Got some questions.
Do you think there was room for Jack on the Titanic door? We got to find
new. This rose is the dumbest thing I've ever seen in a
we
movie.
We have to find new material. Someone text us new material.
A little fast, nasty, little fast girl. They're going to throw the diamond out.
Well, Hawk, I have some new material. No joke. Something we've never done before. Right. Something we've never done before. The Heat, they did lose yesterday to the Milwaukee Bucks. If you want a recap of how the Milwaukee Bucks were able to win the game last night, here's pretty much how the fourth quarter sounded.
Adetokunbo for three.
Giannis Adetokunbo.
I told you I went to spring training on Saturday. Here's Ozzy Osbourne singing "Take Me Out to the Ball Game." No, we gotta get through.
Your weather from the Demesman and Dover Law Firm. Call them 866.
I guess we're the Rolling Stones, right? People just want to hear the hits. They don't want to hear the new. They don't want to hear us try new songs. I'm telling you, the ratings are better than they've ever been. Like, we are through the roof. So, what is it?
Look at my notes.
It's Jimmy.
Obviously.
Stretching.
Recently, you said the NAACP has a Delray office. That was good. I got old notes I can read.
Crowder, of course, famously confused the Hindenburg with the atomic bombs dropped in Japan.
Man, I don't know. It was a blimp.
Yeah, it was a blimp, and it was nuclear, and then.
Hawk, did you tell the guys that I was in Key West on, I don't know if it was Thursday or Friday, and I got in an Uber from Duval going back to my hotel, staying at Margaritaville, and the guy was listening to you guys.
John Michaels has texted me this morning. Ran into a guy at Disney World. I had a Canes backpack on. He comes over, starts talking to me. He says, I recognize your voice. He said, you guys are on Hockman and Crowder all the time.
You're killing us. You're killing. I don't know why y'all surprised.
I know. I'm just, you like, I guess you go out there enough, you feel like the fans want to hear a new song. But they just, they want to hear Jenny. They want to hear Miss Chicopee. They want to hear everything that is in the arsenal.
Stay in the wind. I'm Tay. Got good stuff, man.
Jenny in Forrest Gump was a whore, though.
Whoa.
Wow.
And Rose was in the Titanic.
All right.
Just throwing goodies at people all the time. It's fine, though, you know.
The Cincinnati Reds have just taken a 4-1 lead over the Dodgers in spring training.
What?
Your weather from the Demesman and Dover Law Firm. Call them 866-954-MORE.
Yeah, man.
Joe Forrest just wanted that thing. He didn't care what was going on with it. He just waited for it for 30 years.
He did, come on, man. Forrest, that was tighten up. Determination, man. That was determination.
You are an all-American football player. You're now a millionaire business owner. You're a war hero. You going to still chase around this little thing here? Mm-hmm. Man, come on. Forrest didn't have no good friend. Bubba was a terrible wingman.
That was quite the fearsome twosome.
Forrest and Bubba. Tank gonna give South Beach hell. Get out of here.
We should rename this show Forrest and Bubba.
That's the meme, right? Forrest and Bubba. I'm going to tell my grandkids this was Hockman and Crowder.
Hey, oh, you better send me my check if you get that shrimp business going.
Yeah, man.
Don't hold out on me.
It's partly cloudy in South Florida. Tonight, the lows will be in the 70s. That is your weather.
That's funny, man.
This is the Hawk and Crowder Show.
Lieutenant Dan, ice cream.
Hawk and Crowder.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Wow. What's up? I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
And now, two pigeons who can't believe how good humans have it with DirecTV.
These humans are hopping from streaming apps to live sports without batting a wing.
All from the DirecTV home screen.
With just one click, you could be watching a baseball game, a movie on Netflix,
or a critically acclaimed documentary.
You watch documentaries?
I love the ones that leave you with a question.
What?
Exactly.
DirecTV, a better way to watch whatever you want to watch. Visit DirecTV.com.
Internet-connected Gemini device, separate Netflix membership, and additional paid subscriptions required for third-party apps.
Hey, I'm Andy. If you don't know me, it's probably because I'm not famous. But I did start a men's grooming company called Harry's. The idea for Harry's came out of a frustrating experience I had buying razor blades. Most brands were overpriced, overdesigned, and out of touch. At Harry's, our approach is simple. Here's our secret. We make sharp, durable blades and sell them at honest prices for as low as $2 each. We care about quality so much that we do some crazy things, like buy a world-class German blade factory. Obsessing over every detail means we're confident in offering a 100% quality guarantee. Millions of guys have already made the switch to Harry's, so thank you if you're one of them. And if you're not, we hope you give us a try with this special offer. Get a Harry starter set with a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and a travel cover. All for just $3 plus free shipping. Just go to harrys.com and enter code FLEX at checkout. That's harrys.com, code FLEX. Enjoy.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Now people are texting in the things that they enjoy listening to. Somebody says Solana TV really put you all on the map. That was a good bit. You stuck with it for a week, but that was a good bit, Solana TV.
Best week of my career.
Somebody else texts in, we want to hear Marlon Shirley. Yeah, people like to hear the hits. I get it. So here's the, we have time for this. I'll read you the story from Chris Perkins or some of it regarding Mike McDaniel find a little bit of footing here as we meander our way on our shrimp boat through AM radio waters. This is in the Sun Sentinel. Chris Perkins, Dolphins Mike McDaniel needs a small miracle to save his job. And I think before I even read it, I think everybody would be in agreement, right? Dolphins fans, writers, even the biggest supporters of the Dolphins like me, who likes everybody coming back. I think everybody's very aware that this is a make or break season for Mike McDaniel, no?
Final season for McDaniel and Greer to do what I think was expected of them, win a playoff game at the very least.
Yeah, this is it. So this is what Chris Perkins writes, part of it in the Sun Sentinel. Dolphins coach Mike McDaniel could use some good fortune. In fact, McDaniel could use a one-year turnaround similar to the Philadelphia turnaround under Nick Sirianni, which was really a one-year turnaround. To be blunt, Perk writes, McDaniel, who has been blessed with more talent than most coaches in Dolphins history, hasn't done a good job taking advantage of his bounty. It seems logical to think that McDaniel must be better in 2025 or he'll be fired. And that sentence, when you read it from Chris Perkins, that sentence to me says a lot. To be blunt, McDaniel, who has been blessed with more talent than most coaches in Dolphins history, hasn't done a good job taking advantage of his bounty. It's a fair point by Chris Perkins, the biggest Mike McDaniel supporters can tell you. On paper, this roster is stacked.
And that's why I put it on McDaniel.
Well, it goes on to write, McDaniel has a 28-25 record, including an 0-2 mark in the playoffs, a 4-16 mark against playoff teams. His teams have disappointed and underachieved. The great experiment is failing. McDaniel must change the culture of this team and change its fortunes against the best teams on the schedule. It's all connected, Chris Perkins writes. The Dolphins regularly get pounded by the best teams on their schedule, which prevents them from getting a home playoff game, which prevents them from winning a playoff game. Many have questioned the wisdom of owner Stephen Ross for keeping McDaniel even after extending his contract last summer. The pressure is on. Nick Sirianni can relate. Sirianni, who recently led the Eagles to a dominating Super Bowl win over KC, was the butt of NFL jokes as recently as week six. He was caught yelling at Eagles fans after a narrow home victory. Combine the disappointing record with the viral video of that shouting match and add the soul-sucking momentum of the Eagles losing six of their final seven games in 2023, including a 32-9 first-round playoff loss to Tampa, things were bleak for Sirianni. He bounced back in a big way. Mike McDaniel can do the same, Chris Perkins writes. McDaniel doesn't have to win a Super Bowl to keep his job, but a playoff win would go a long way toward ensuring he returns for 2026. A mere playoff appearance probably won't be good enough. Chris Perkins writes in the Sun Sentinel, I still think the Dolphins can win a Super Bowl with McDaniel. The same goes for quarterback Tua Tagovailoa. But let's focus on McDaniel returning for 2026. Ross must set a baseline for what McDaniel must do to return. Sirianni, who was making his second Super Bowl appearance, removed all doubt about his return. To me, Mike McDaniel must win a playoff game at least to keep his job. He talks about maybe hiring Bobby Slowick as an offensive coordinator, blah, blah, blah. He writes more and more. You can read it all at Sun Sentinel, sunsentinel.com. Says the run game hasn't run between the tackles very well. Slowick can help with that. All things considered, Chris Perkins writes at the end, McDaniel needs a small miracle to save his job. Sirianni was in a similar situation as recently as week five of the regular season, and it worked out great for him. McDaniel doesn't need to pull a Sirianni. But McDaniel must miraculously be much better than he's been the previous 3 years. A lot of what Chris Perkins writes there, I think people would agree with. Like, whether you love McDaniel, hate him, love Tua, hate Tua, I think most people would agree with what Perk points out. He's been given a loaded roster. and it just hasn't worked out. And he says he's underperformed. And I would argue that the Dolphins looked better in season one than they had looked in a long time. So I think he overperformed in year one. I think there's probably a middle ground to what Perk is saying there. But I agree with Chris Perkins' basic point, which is they have to win a playoff game. That's the lowest possible barometer for him to keep his job the following season.
I love the baseline. Like, win a playoff. Like, honestly, you tell him you win a playoff game, we'll keep you around. If you still can't win a playoff game, like, we have to move on and find somebody that can. I love the baseline talk. The thing that's most interesting to me, but it's that's the baseline is quantifiable. The thing that's not is the culture of what's our identity as a team. We're graceful. We're going to keep talking about a 70-point performance from 3 years ago. Next season, if somebody brings up that damn 70-point game, I'm going to slap them in the mouth. That was 3 years ago now. We have to move forward. We're not physical. We can't just whoop somebody's ass up front, but we weren't built to whoop nobody's ass up front. We were built like this track team, and that's what we got sold, and it's beautiful when you're scoring 30 points a game. When you're getting choked out, it's not beautiful anymore. And then the one thing with culture that I keep thinking about every time we talk about the McDaniel, Chris Greer, Tua, what's the answer, is the whole thing about guys not caring about fines. That thing that they came out with, and they were like, well, I can fine guys all day, but they'll come late if they want to come late and all. Honest, I don't know. The respect is the answer to that.
Right. It's not because you don't want to get fined. If you respect the guy who says to you, you need to be at this meeting at this time, you'll be there. The money doesn't even come into play.
No, you're going to be there. Because I was playing with guys that made a lot of money, but they were never late because they respected the game, they respected the coach, and they respected their teammates. So the culture thing, like I said, I started, it's not quantifiable, but is my question would be, and you, I don't know who can answer it. I could ask some players, and they'll probably dance around it. Is the culture in this locker room a real winning culture? Because I look at the final four, the Commanders, the Lions, the Eagles, like those teams, those final top teams, the Bills, the Chiefs, like they have a ass-kicking approach to football. Physical, dominant, going to get you. The Chiefs are probably the softest team out of the bunch, but they have Patrick Mahomes and he's a cheat code. But the Lions are on top before us. The Lions are now Super Bowl contenders before us because they have an ass kicker in Dan Campbell. Dan Quinn brought it to the Commanders. Sirianni and them have it at the Eagles. Like, I don't know if that's the answer. I don't know if I'm old school football, but I think the quickest turnaround in the organization is to start whooping ass. And I don't know if McDaniel is raising up or putting a culture of whooping ass. He's putting a culture of, we'll run a bunch of motions and switches around and we'll trick them. And then we'll have a real fast guy run around the edge. That crap doesn't work consistently.
But shouldn't some of that blame be put on Chris Greer? Really? I mean, the reality is whether or not you feel like Mike McDaniel has a soft approach to his coaching style, and whether or not you think Mike McDaniel has failed to maximize the talent on the offensive side of the ball. Chris Greer hired Brian Flores, went through a full rebuild, failed to win a playoff game. They fired Brian Flores, and he chose the next head coach. He chose this guy who had zero experience, who was interviewed by no other NFL team. He chose him, and he's put the pieces around the coach he hand-selected.
But if you agree with what Perk says, he's been given a roster that's probably more laden with talent than 85% of Dolphins coaches.
Agreed, which is why I think it's an even worse mark on Chris Greer's resume. The fact that the coach he hand-selected couldn't maximize a talented roster.
Well, what is Chris Greer's most important task, though? Selecting the coach or getting the right personnel there? If you had to choose one.
I think it's both. I think it's building a winning organization.
You have to choose one, though.
But this conversation is something I thought about, too. I wrote it down. Where you've heard Chris Greer come out and say it. You've heard people talk about it. Where Chris Greer doesn't bring in guys that his coach doesn't like. You think Howie Roseman, and I would say the Eagles roster is more loaded than the Dolphins. You think Howie Roseman asked Nick Sirianni, can I draft Jalen Carter? Can I bring in Josh Sweat? Can I re-sign A.J. Brown? Do you think you like Devonta Smith? You think we can give him an extension? What do you feel about Jalen Hurts? These are great players. So even that dynamic between Greer and McDaniel where they're both looking at each other with the Spider-Man meme. What kind of player do you like? I don't know who's intriguing to you. I don't know who's intriguing to your system.
But that was their whole idea was they wanted collaboration. It's why they got rid of Brian Flores. They wanted collaboration. I mean, this is what their plan was.
Does collaboration work? Because I think we're a loaded roster that's underachieving. But McDaniel wants these guys. So are we running in? So are we chasing our tail with this collaboration thing?
If you're looking to collaborate with somebody, usually they have a track record. Mike McDaniel, unfortunately, outside of a 70-point game, doesn't have a track record, has zero playoff wins. It's not somebody I want building my organization, making major decisions for my organization. It's just not.
5 o'clock hour coming up. We got to take a break.
About collaboration. To the point about collaboration, it's like businesses. You can't own a business 50-50. There has to be 51% because somebody has to make the final decision. That has to be, and that's the leader, and that's the person that makes the decisions. I don't know who's making the decision between those two.
We apologize. This is the Hawk and Crowder Show.
I'm telling you, like, if you're listening to this show and you don't have a bottle of Fabuloso somewhere in one of your cabinets, oh, we don't need you.
Hawk and Crowder.
The details behind the Diddy indictment. Taylor Swift's stalkers. Jerry Lee trying to kill Elvis. Disgraceland dives into the dark side of entertainment every Tuesday. Follow and listen to Disgraceland on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.